am so excited about this morning. We are last week I preached on the power of ginosko and getting that intimate touch with Christ, and really it's really a kind of a 2-week series on prayer. And this week I'm going to follow up with the power of solitude, and I am excited about this message because I understand, and you know, especially I've been praying this week about, you know, my life is busy. It's been the last couple weeks with all the transitions and the changes, moving from Los Angeles to Carlsbad and becoming a senior pastor for the first time and all the different things that's going on. And the kind of life can get busy. How many of you know what I mean? It can get a little hectic, especially in the world we live in where you have about a million radio channels now on satellite radio, and you've got over 1,000 channels on your television at home. It's very easy to get busy. It's very easy to get hectic. It's very easy to kind of lose control of your life in a sense. And I realized what God was speaking to me right now is I need to have deeper times of aloneness with Him than ever before. That I need to learn the power of solitude. Learn, and I'm not talking about loneliness, I'm talking about being alone with God. See, solitude is not about being lonely, it's about being alone. And there's a power to being alone. There's a power to solitude that as we get busier in life, as we get busier in the world that we live in, we have to learn how to withdraw more than ever before. We have to learn how to get alone with God more than ever, to hear His heart, to hear His voice, to kind of get us free from all the clutter and free from all the distractions so that we can truly allow God to speak to us and guide us in life. And, you know, that's what solitude means. It's solitary. It's being alone. It's a, you know, solitude more than being lonely. It's a state or a quality of being alone. It's a character of aloneness. It's a tool. When you really think about it, solitude is a tool. I talked about worship being a tool last week. Well, solitude is a tool. It's a skill. It's a discipline. And when you learn the discipline of solitude, you learn how to strategically withdraw yourself at the right moments. You learn how to withdraw into the presence of God, to withdraw yourself from all the distractions, from all the clutter, and to just truly get into the presence of God, to hear the heart of God, to hear the voice of God. It becomes one of the most powerful tools you'll ever master in life. It becomes one of the most powerful disciplines that you can ever have, and especially as a follower of a Christ. You see, in the world, you can withdraw to a quiet time. You can withdraw to be alone. But imagine when you withdraw and you have that quiet time with the Creator of the universe. Imagine how much more powerful solitude becomes as a follower of Christ. And let's be honest, until you really learn this discipline, until you really learn this skill, you'll never know how truly powerful your life can become. You'll never really reach the degree as a Christian that God intends for you until you really learn how to withdraw yourself. See, last week we talked about worship being a tool to get you into a momentary state of ginosko when life kind of knocks you down. Well, today we're going to talk about how solitude will take the tool of worship with solitude and get you into a prolonged state of ginosko, a prolonged state of being alone with God to reach a deeper level of ginosko, a deeper level of the presence of God. And so as we talk about solitude this morning, we're going to look at three levels or three kind of principles of solitude. The first two are found in the life of Elijah the prophet, and the last one found in the life of Jesus Christ. Number one, the first level of solitude is when God calls us to solitude. See, there's a time in our life where God says, come be alone with me. I want you all to myself. And God says, come into solitude. Look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to read the first 6 verses. 1 Kings 17, and we're going to look at the first 6 verses. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, and for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and Elijah drank from the brook. This is the first level of solitude. There are times in life where God says, come be alone with me. God says, I want you all to myself. I want to sustain you. I want to provide for you. I want to take care of your needs. I'll feed you. I'll make sure you have something to drink. I will refresh you. And see, those are some of the most special times in life where God says, come be alone with me. Come into solitude. Walk with me. Talk with me. Come be. And you need to understand, church, there are times in my life where I want people around me. See, there are times in my life where I need to be at church, where I want to be in a worship service like this morning, and I want to be sitting with brothers and sisters who are encouraging me and loving me. And there are times in my life where I need that. The Bible says, do not forsake the company of believers. So we need church. We need life groups. We need a small group experience in our life where we sit down with a small group of people and we do life with one another and we share with one another and we fight and cry and love and laugh with one another. We need that as believers in Christ. But church, there are also times where you can't sustain me. See, there are times where I need a group of people around me, praying for me, encouraging me, loving me, but there are also times where I have to be alone with God, where I need to be in the presence of God, where no one can say it to me like God can say it to me, where there are things in my life that I need to hear from God directly, personally, alone with Him. Yes, God speaks to me during worship. Yes, God speaks to me during church. Yes, God speaks to me in small groups. But there are times I need to hear God speak to me all alone when it's just me and Him, where He says, come be alone with me. And it's in that state, it's in that presence where God speaks to me things that it's like marriage. How many of you understand? There are things my wife can say to me in front of the church, you know, in front of friends, publicly. Then there are things my wife can say to me in front of our family. You know, in a smaller group setting, but how many of you understand there are things I need to hear from my wife that she can only say to me when I'm all alone with her, when there's nobody else around? There are things that I need to hear from her, things that, you know, that there's a relationship I need to have that we can't share with anybody else. And it's the same thing with your relationship with God. There are times where you need the church. There are times where you need small groups. But there are times in your Christian walk where the only thing you need is to be alone with God. But see, one of the problems that many of us struggle with us is, how many of you understand? A lot of us are scared to be alone with God. We're scared to be alone with God because we're afraid of what He might tell us. Let's be honest, if I get alone with God, if I really get alone with God and I get rid of all the distractions where I can really hear the voice of God, what if He tells me to go live in a hut in Africa somewhere? And so we don't want to get alone with God because we're scared of what He might say to us. But you got to realize God's not going to call you to something you hate. God created you for your calling. God created you for your purpose. And that what God calls you to, you're going to enjoy because you enjoy your purpose. See, I was created to be a pastor. I know that. I love to love people. That's my favorite thing in life. When I'm encouraging someone, that is my favorite time in life. It's like Eric Little, the great runner from the movie Chariots of Fire. His sister was trying to convince him to go be a missionary in China. And he said, you know, I will one day. I will be. But right now, God made me fast. And God made me fast for a purpose. And He said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. See, when you're doing what God created you to do, you feel His pleasure. I know I was created to be a pastor. I know that's what God, you know, really as a pastor, you know what our number one job is? It's just to be a cheerleader. My job is just to go around and tell everyone they're awesome, tell everyone I love them, tell everyone they're great for God, because you know what? If people really felt like one person believed them, they can do anything for Christ. If they just felt at least one person, so I know that's my calling. God's going to call you to what you love. God's going to call you to what He created you for. God's going to call you to what He did, and that's where you're going to flourish in life. So don't be afraid of getting alone with God. Don't be afraid of being in solitude in His presence because of what He may or may not say. It's like the girl in school that made straight C's. You know, someone asked her, why do you make straight C's? She said, well, if I make an A, then people are going to expect me to make A's. But if I make an F, then I fail and I got to take it over and I don't want to do that again. So I make straight C's so I can just live a normal, average existence. Church, is that really what God wants for you as a believer? Does he really want you to just make C's spiritually? Or does he want you to get the level where you're making A's, where you're getting alone in his presence, where you're learning the power of solitude, the power of being alone with him and what can take place when you get in his presence? First level of solitude is God calls us into solitude. Second level of solitude is when problems force us into solitude. How many know problems can get you alone with God faster than anything? Your world falls apart, and the first place you run to is God. Problems are a huge key to solitude. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, again, this is the life of Elijah the prophet. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to look at the first four verses. The Bible says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how Elijah had executed all of the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die. Elijah said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Now, let me set up what's happening here. Let me kind of paint the picture of the story. You got to understand something. Elijah, this great prophet, this awesome man of God, personally just executed over 450 prophets of Baal. 450, I mean, just it was the original holy war of holy wars. It was the battle of the ages. Here it is. There, you got the prophets of Baal and this idol Baal and all the people worshiping Baal. And Elijah finally said, enough. You know, forget this. Let's have a battle. Let's face off. Let's have the original holy war and find out whose God is real. So Elijah threw the challenge out. He said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get two altars, and we're going to get two sacrifices, and we're going to pray to our God. You pray to the God of Baal, or to Baal, whatever he is, the statue Baal, and I'm going to pray to the living God, and whose God is real, we're going to ask to send fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice on the altar. And so here it goes. They get out there, and Elijah sees all 450 prophets of Baal, and there's Baal, the statue, because that's what wooden statues do. And there's Elijah, the man of God, and they've got the two altars. And so Elijah said, okay, right, you guys go first. And the prophets of Baal, you want us to just pray to Baal? Yeah, you guys go first. You guys pray to Baal and see if he's real. And they're like, well, no worship music, no announcements. You just want us to start cold? Yeah, you pray to Baal and let's see what happens. So Elijah's sitting there and he can't believe what they're doing. These 450 guys start praying to a wooden statue that God would send that Baal would send fire from heaven. And here's Baal. Because that's what wooden statues do. And Elijah can't get it. So Elijah, you got to read the story. It is hilarious. Elijah says, well, maybe Baal's asleep. And so these 450 prophets of Baal actually take their lead from the man of God. Say, yeah, maybe he's asleep. So they start yelling louder. Oh, Baal, send fire down Baal. Consume the... And there's Baal. And Elijah can't believe this. So Elijah says, well, maybe Baal's on vacation. And the prophets of Baal said, yeah, could be. And so they start shouting, they start yelling, Baal, come fire, Baal, you know, cutting themselves. I mean, and it's not like Elijah gave them 5 minutes. He gave them all day. I mean, hours these guys are praying to Baal. They're cutting each other, they're yelling, they're screaming, and nothing. And so Elijah says, all right, I've given you all day, it's my turn. Elijah said, bring me some water. And he douses the entire altar with water because Elijah wanted there to be absolutely no mistake. He didn't want them to say, well, maybe a spark lit it off. So he doused the entire altar in water. And Elijah gets on his knees and he says, God, show these people you're real. And like a lightning bolt from heaven, fire shoots down and literally consumes the sacrifice to ash. And then Elijah takes all 450 prophets and kills them. And now, because of one angry woman, he's running for his life. Men, it's right there in the Bible. Don't make a woman mad. He's out in the wilderness all alone, begging God to kill him. How many of you ever been in Elijah's? No, we may not say it like Elijah did. We say, well, God, you know all these problems I'm facing right now? It would be a great day for Jesus to come back. You know, we don't necessarily pray that God would kill us. We pray for the rapture. God, just rapture me out of these problems. Rapture me out of this situation. But it didn't happen. And here's Elijah in solitude, all alone, crying out before God. See, I get so tired of Christians that say, well, you only run to God when you have problems. Well, how do you know God didn't allow those problems so they would run to him? Because sometimes it's problems that get us into the presence of God. Sometimes it's problems that make us run to God. And so here's the man of God all alone, in solitude, letting God sustain him again. Now I want to talk about the last and most important level of solitude this morning. The first level, I said, God calls you to be alone with him. The second level is when problems force you to be alone with God, force you into solitude. And then the last and the most powerful level of solitude is not in the life of Elijah, but it's in the life of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 with me. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says about Jesus, so he himself, so Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And if you study this passage in the actual Greek, you'll find that the word wilderness is the word eremos, which means solitary. It means lonely. It means desolate. It means uninhabited place. Jesus often withdrew into the uninhabited place. Jesus often withdrew into the solitary. Jesus withdrew into the solitude. Now let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ being the Son of God, if Jesus Christ being perfect and holy and all God and all man at the same time, but yet never committing sin, if that Jesus had to withdraw into solitude, let me ask you a question. How much more do you and I need to learn solitude? If Jesus himself needed solitude, how much more should we depend and cry and long for those solitude moments with God? To get all alone with God. To learn the discipline of solitude. See, there are times where God says, come be alone with me. There are times where problems send you running into God's presence. But the last and most powerful level is when you learn the discipline of solitude. You learn how to strategically withdraw yourself so that you can rebuild, so that you can refresh, so that you can renew, so you can get into the God's presence, so you can hear things from God, so you can be close to God, so you can sense his spirit, his power, and his calling for your life. See, this is the hardest and the most neglected area of solitude for us. Because it's easy to get busy. It's easy to get so caught up with the daily routine of life that we forget to make time to get alone with God. We forget to get into his presence on a daily basis. And church, you're never going to know the true power of your Christian life until you learn solitude. You're never going to tap into your true potential and to your true gifting and into your true calling until you learn how to walk in solitude. Until you learn how to allow the creator of the universe to begin to speak to you about how he designed you, how he created you, what your purpose is, what your true capabilities are. See, a lot of you look at your life and you think your capabilities are X, but God is saying, get alone with me because your capabilities are way beyond X. I can do this with you. I can do this with you. I can do this with you. If you'll just get alone and let me speak to you, it'll be amazing what you can accomplish. One of my former board members at my old church in Los Angeles, he was a a man who loved solitude. He was a man that literally, one of the godliest men I knew who loved to walk with God, loved to just get out, away from the radio, away from the music, away from the television, get out where no one else was around, and he loved to just walk with God. And he was at a season in his life where his business was struggling. He was having a very difficult time. His business was going bankrupt. He didn't know what he was going to do to turn it around. He was into telecommunications. He builds cell phone towers. And he began to tell me, when God began to ask him to do a couple things, he began to do those things. And one day he was out in solitude. He was just walking with the Holy Spirit, just talking with the Holy Spirit, just, you know, being best friends with the Holy. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. When he left to be with the Father, how many know he left part of him and the Holy Spirit with us on earth? You have the ability to literally be best friends with God on a daily basis. That's wonderful, church. So he's out walking with the Holy Spirit. And he began to tell me in his business, it takes about 8 hours to build and erect a cell phone tower. And it cost about, I forgot what the cost was, but it was about X dollars. And one day he was out in solitude just walking with the Holy Spirit and just saying, you know, Holy Spirit, I need your advice. I need your wisdom. We're going bankrupt. I need to know what to do. It's your business. If it shuts down, that's fine. It's your business. I just want to follow you. Just lead me and guide me. And as he was out there, the Holy Spirit began to show him how he could build one of these towers in 2 hours when it normally took 8. And how to do it for a third the cost. How many know the Holy Spirit can build cell phone towers? And just out of his solitude time, just began to guide him and give him ideas on how to do it in 2 hours, how to do it for a third of the cost. And all of a sudden, he went out and tried it. And guess what? It worked. And he did it again, and it worked again. He did it again, and then he started saving all of his clients' money by building these towers for much cheaper and much quicker. And all of a sudden, his business began to turn around, and his company began to turn around. And he became blessed as a result of him just listening to the Holy Spirit. You see, in every arena of life, people have creativity times. They have quiet times. They have meditation times. Let me ask you, how much more powerful that time would be as a believer when you walked in solitude with God? See, I want you to get to the point where you enjoy being alone with God. That's one of my, I love being around my wife more than anything. I mean, God has blessed me with an amazing wife. I love my son more than anything. I love you, the church. But let me be honest, one of my favorite times in life is being alone with God. There's probably nothing I enjoy more than just going out to the beach at night or hiking a trail somewhere and just getting alone with God, where it's just me and him. No music, no cell phone, no iPhone, no radio, just me and God. I tell you, church, that's one of my favorite times in life. And my desire for you this morning is for you to learn to love to be alone with God. You to begin to learn the power of, learn what God can do through solitude in your life. Look at this to close with. I love this. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. You heard me read. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and played. He often withdrew into solitude. Now, look at this. The very next verse. The very next one verse, not even a chapter later, not two verses later, but one verse later. Luke 5 verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. One verse later, Jesus withdrew, and the very next verse, the power of the Lord was present. Look at it in verse 17, right at the end. The power. How many of you know we need power in our life right now? More than ever, we need power in our businesses. We need power in our careers. We need power in our marriages. We need power in our families. How many know we need God's touch on our life right now more than we've ever needed it? You look at the state of the world, you look at the, we need God right now more than we've ever needed God. And that's why the last couple weeks I've intentionally been preaching on prayer and teaching on prayer and teaching about getting us into the presence, getting us into that ginosko state, getting us into the presence of God, because right now we need it more than ever. And the beautiful thing is when you learn to get alone with God, when you learn that power of solitude, when you learn the discipline, the skill, the tool of using solitude in your life, and you focus that time on the creator of the universe, the God that loves you, the God that created you before your parents ever knew you. He had a purpose and a destiny for you. When you get alone with him and you begin to ask the creator, why am I here? What is my purpose? What do you want for me? Give me wisdom. Give me guidance. Show me what to do next. Give me the next step for my life. When you learn to walk in that solitude, the power of the Lord was present. I love that, church. I love that. My desire is, you know, right now, I can see some of you right now looking in your eyes. You can't wait to get out of here. You just want me to stop right now, leave so you can go be alone with God. I see it in your eyes. I see something burning inside of you where you just can't wait this afternoon to go find somewhere, wherever it is, whether it's on the top of a hill or a trail or a beach or a closet, wherever it is, you just can't wait to go be alone with God. And you know what? God can't wait to be alone with you. God is so excited. Holy Spirit right now, he's saying, I can't wait till they come get alone with me. I can't wait to just be their friend and just kind of get to know them again. Some of you, it's been a while since you've had solitude. The Holy Spirit's like, I can't wait so we can get, it's like getting reconnected with an old friend. The Holy Spirit just right now in anticipation of getting alone with you sometime today. God's just so excited right now because the wonderful thing about this is not just that we want to know God, but God wants to know us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray right now you would put a burning in our heart, a burning in our spirit, Lord, to know you like we've never known you, to love you like we've never loved you, to walk with you like we've never walked with you before. Lord, and before I close this service, I would be wrong if I didn't give anyone in this room an opportunity to take the first step with you. Lord, I preached a great message about a relationship that is available to us. But Lord, it's only available to us if we take the first step of accepting you as our Savior. Take the first step of what we call being born again. Take the first step of becoming a Christian. So Lord, before I go any further, I want to ask anyone in the room with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're in the room this morning and you're not a Christian, you don't feel like you have any type of relationship or closeness to God. This morning, the reality is you really don't know the condition of your soul. You may be a good person, but it's not about being a good person because all of us failed at least once. It's about knowing a God that loves you. It's about accepting his son, Jesus, who he willingly gave to build a bridge for you to have a relationship with him. So if you need to take the first step, and the first step is saying yes to Jesus. And the Bible says when you accept the gift of God, which was his son, Jesus, the Bible says you're made right with God. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and you now have the opportunity to have a beautiful solitude experience. So if that's you, no one looking around, every eye closed, if you'd like me to pray for you to say yes to Jesus, would you raise your hand just so I can see it? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Making a great decision, powerful decision. Father, bless them. Bless them. And in church, I want to challenge you. Go get alone with God. He wants to be alone with you. Isn't it amazing that the God who formed the universe, who set the stars and the heaven, really wants to get to know you? You know, sometimes it's hard to comprehend that God wants to know me, but he wants to know you personally. He wants to know you. Stand with me as we close with one song, and then you're gone, and then you're dismissed. Love you guys.